I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Boom shaka jing jang hum ha hi. Boom shaka jing jang boom ha hi. Hi.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Thick Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall.
And you wouldn't think that we're two guys who are in sync, you know, mentally. Yeah. But in many ways we are. In many ways.
But we're very different men, Andy.
Listen to the latest the latest Who Knew It with Matt Stewart that we were on a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Not the latest actual one, but the latest one that we were on.
Yes.
And you'll see an example of that.
Not the latest that we were on if you're listening to this really far in the future when this was released.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. We will have been on more by then.
Hopefully.
But when we say the latest in this episode of this podcast that you know is old.
The year.
We're not talking about the latest in the future. We're not like imagining.
No, we're not saying that was the last one we'll ever be on.
No.
But there's, you never know. One of us or both of us might pass away suddenly during this podcast.
We can only dream. Mm. Alistair.
Yes.
Alistair, what do you think of this as an idea, right?
Yeah.
Business candles. I was just thinking before how much I love to light a scented candle. I don't do it a lot, but whenever I have one in the house, I feel great. But then I was thinking, wouldn't it be great, you know, like because maybe you're planning a romantic encounter.
Yeah.
You know, you light candles around the room, okay, because the little bit of fire adds a bit of danger.
Wait.
You know, so you got a job interview.
Yeah.
You light yourself some beautiful business candles.
Yeah. Well, what about this? The business candle, it's your hand is dipped in wax.
Okay.
Right? And your business partner, maybe your new employer's hand is also dipped in wax.
Yeah.
And then you both, with your other hand, hold onto a wick for a moment and then place it in between your clasped business shaking hands.
Oh, that's like this. Good.
And then you light that wick and then you just hold it there.
Until it burns down and burns your skin. And the first person to flinch or pull away, no, the last person to do that, they're the boss. There should be a, you know how like back in the day, you could challenge someone to a duel, right? If there was a matter of honor at stake. But now, if there's a matter of, if you have a dispute with your boss, you should be able to challenge them to a shake-off, right?
Or
this is what we'll call it. We'll call it, I challenge you to a hot shake, right? And you do the handshake. And the wick burns down, the hands begin to sizzle and bubble, right? And whoever flinches and pulls their hand away, they lose the business dispute. Yes. And the winner is the one who holds on, and they become the new boss.
That's good. And
you could shake your way to the top.
Yeah, I like that. You know, with a business shake also.
It's a shakedown.
It's a shakedown. It makes you think that maybe there's the possibility where you could do it where you each take turns riding each other like a bull. And whoever stays on the longest. You know, it could be a business shake-off.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. It's a rodeo. It's a let's settle this rodeo style.
Did you call it the business hot shake or hot hand?
Yeah, I called it the hot shake. And let's settle this with a hot. I challenge you to a hot shake. Was one thing that I said at one point. But hot hand is also good. When you started talking about dipping the hands in wax and that sort of thing, I imagined that you were going to somehow make a wax cast of the handshake, moment of the handshake, and then have that turned into its own candle. right? And you know, whenever you do a business deal, you basically you make a mold of the two hands shaking. You turn it into a beautiful candle. Both parties to the contract get one of those candles with a nice wick in the middle there. And whenever you light the candle, now you'll think of that wonderful contract that you signed and that special bond that you entered into.
Oh, that's right.
I think in a way it's quite lovely.
It's nice to think about all the business deals that you've done, isn't it?
Yeah. Have them surround you. And then when it burns down and it's all melted away, well, maybe that reminds you, oh, it must be time to go and renew that contract, renew the terms.
Oh, that would be maybe good. If it did just burn for the duration of the contract, could you have
Yes, the contract only lasts as long as the candle continues to burn.
It's like the Olympic flame. Is that the?
Yeah, it's exactly the same as the Olympic flame.
Is that our contract with the OAC or whatever it is, the world's contract with the Olympic board?
Yeah, the what is it? I had it there. When you said OAC, I was like, fuck, that's embarrassing for him that he got that acronym that wrong. It's definitely not the OAC.
OIC? Olympic OIC. Committee?
Organizing Committee. Organizing.
OOC.
OOC?
OCC.
This isn't feeling any better.
The OC? The Olympic Committee.
We back in 2000, every Australian knew what it was.
Yeah.
Back when Juan Antonio Samaranch was the king of the Olympics, we all knew, we all cared. We were on tenterhooks. We were all very plugged into the current.
Now, we have another one coming and we couldn't give a shit, don't we?
Do we?
I think we have a Brisbane one coming.
Yeah. I don't think the world could give a shit.
Yeah.
It's all over now. We gave it to too many fucked up countries.
I know. But it's also like, it's also like a bit like FIFA. Suddenly it's just an organization that has so much power over nothing. And then they just kind of like strong arm you into just taking it and giving them money in some way.
Is there a sketch in this, Alistair? Well, could we apply an Olympic organizing committee type metaphor, but make it about something else? Say it's a wheat growers conference. No, not that. That's no good. Sausage innovation. No, not sausages. We do too many sausages. Swimming pools and chlorine bleachers conference. But they act like it's like they're the Olympic organizing committee, and they are demanding all sorts of shit. But are you thinking that it should be some sort of competition type thing?
No. No. I was just thinking of I like where you're going anyway, and I think that's probably fine. I was just trying to picture ground it into.
What about a magic festival?
But you know, like how there's like some things that just like, oh, we've got that exhibition now, or whatever that thing that's come into town.
Yeah,
you know, there was sometimes like there's like a light thing that's in some town square,
a light show.
Or some, you know, like the White Knight kind of thing, or, you know, I don't know. I think that's one's probably all, they're all probably locally organized rather than a touring thing. You know, those guys
we'll find it, whatever the funniest is. Like, I feel like, pan flute.
The chlorine and pool conference. What is it?
Yeah, that's right. They got all these little satellite events where people are displaying different pieces of pool and chlorine technology, and they want all these venues to be made, and they, you know, they need a really, really long one for some reason.
What is it, like trade show organizing committee?
They should do an Olympic event with free diving. Right, with people swimming really deep down into the ocean. That'd look fucking sick. The camera's down there in the dark.
Couldn't they just do it with like a skyscraper and just like pick out a corner
fill
of a
it with water?
Just a corner. You know, take a disused elevator shaft.
Yeah, that's great.
Just turn it into glass instead.
Oh, that'd be so good. And then you could have spectators all the way down.
Yeah.
Right? Lined up on all the different floors. You could have, if you did it in an elevator, and then you could have another, you could pay extra to be in an elevator next to it, going down with them. giving them the thumbs up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, because it's a down-up swim race.
Yeah, exactly.
Or up-down. They get brought down in an elevator in a bubble.
Oh, okay. That, you know? I feel like this would kill them. I've got a feeling this would kill them. Instant. I think if you push them out of the bubble and into the water to swim up.
Oh, yeah. Just open it. As you open the bubble, they get hit with the pressure of the water.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's basically what happened to that submarine, isn't it?
Yes. Wow. You know, that's what makes it such a grueling competition.
Oh, grueling. Oh, I mean, it would be great to see if they could survive it, though. That for those, because someone shared with us that message, that screen grab from somewhere where someone was talking about feeling like they would have survived the submarine thing because they're built different.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, that makes me. I'd love to see that, and then you know, we could really rub it in the faces of the people who died tragically in that situation.
Yeah. In corner of.
If you were to make a business candle, one that you could light for a job interview,
yeah.
What would it look like and what would it smell like?
Okay, so if it was just like, so it wouldn't look like a stapler or something like that, right?
No, I don't think so. I think maybe it could be a square candle or possibly triangular. Maybe sure. It's shaped like a hexagon, like a pencil. Is that a hexagon or an octagon? Octagon's probably an octagon.
I wonder, I mean, I feel like there's probably a chance that there could be many different types. But, oh, I've got one right here. Let's see.
Count the sides, quick.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
oh,
six.
Come on. Really? Hex. It's a hexagon.
Hex.
Hex, baby.
I bet you there's octagon pencils.
There must be.
There's got to be. And there's some people who think that they're better. You know what I mean? Some people are like,
yeah,
oh,
I mean, maybe I'm going to become one of those guys.
Pencils.
Yeah. Oh, what is this pencil? Ah, ah. You try and write with it, you're acting. It
doesn't fit.
My hand is cramping up. How many sides does this pencil have?
Yeah, you got really like, you good. Know, you wake up and you got like a crick in your neck and you go, ah, this is because I was using that six-sided pencil six-sided all pencil. Night.
You try and write with it body and it's, out of it's whack. Flying out of your hand, slipping from your grip, stabs someone in the eye. You see, this is why you get the octagon pencils.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize.
I mean, it's too obvious to have a business candle smell like printer toner or something like that, which is quite a nice smell, really, when that printer's going, or paper, yeah, you know, or new like, paper or, like the
ozone,
or something like that,
or like the ozone from a yeah, photocopy machine.
Yeah.
Did you ever like that ozone smell?
Yeah, I love it. Love it.
Isn't that crazy?
It's good
that
stuff.
It just like it produces its own ozone. It's like it's poisonous to us, right? Isn't it?
I think it is. Yeah, but you know, a little bit's nice. As
yeah,
a treat.
Just a little, like when you're filling, like when you're filling up the car, you're like, I'm not allowed, like I'm not supposed to breathe in a lot of this petrol smell, but it smells so good.
It's the forbidden.
It's like once, yeah, once every 2 weeks ain't that bad, right?
You I know, don't think so.
Two breaths in, yeah, you know, and then you one breath, you know, you smell away just to get a little bit of clean air.
I don't actually like petrol, but what I do love is a whiteboard marker. And I don't think I've ever opened a whiteboard marker without just having a little sniff of that.
Oh, I've never. Yeah, I'm not a big whiteboard marker, but I.
And
I do love
as a teacher, that's a problem.
A fresh
like
can
you got
to,
you can't let the kids see you sniffing. They should make a whiteboard marker that is easier to sniff. You can sniff it. Maybe a little bit of smell comes out the other end as well. So you can smell that end. Nobody thinks you're smelling
like
the business end. Like a fart.
Like it should have a little
It's a whiteboard marker with a little anus. What? What's
yeah,
wrong with that?
It has like a little... What's wrong with me thinking a whiteboard marker should have an anus? They do already have that ridged, that ribbed kind of area where you can put the lid in.
Exactly. Exactly.
And like a butt plug.
Mm.
And it is kind of already anus shaped.
A little bit.
There should just be a little bit of that, whatever that moist kind of like hard foam. Some of that should come out the back.
And when you know, probably when you put the
if you did that, probably the ink could come out more aerodynamically. Faster.
This is how we'll sell it. Yeah. This is how what we'll tell people. But then we'll wink at them. Yeah.
That's right.
And we'll sell our
wine. We'll put little gills on the side. Maybe we'll put some gills on the side so that you can just smell it by rubbing it under your nose like a cigar.
Like a cigar. Great. And while we're giving it gills, let's give it a little dorsal fin as well. Little dorsal fin and a couple of little pectoral fins.
That'll put them off the scent, the whiteboard marker scent.
What about a pencil? You know those rumors that you would hear when you're
whiteboard marker.
Sorry, what's that?
Do you think it would look weirder? Do you think it would look weirder to your sort of high school or primary school children students? If you were smelling the anus of a whiteboard marker right after you opened
it. Well, if they knew it was an anus, yeah. But you would also, you know, they don't need to know. We make it look exactly like normal whiteboard markers.
Although, we wouldn't make like the bit underneath it like kind of pink.
No. We don't give it two large buttocks that I have to sort of pull apart to get my nose in there.
Yeah, maybe we could make like a little mask for teachers that they can put on when they're opening up one of these things.
Yeah,
and they come like so that like the whiteboard marker pack comes with two markers, right? And a mask, and you put this mask over your face, and actually, the working whiteboard marker is inside the mask, and when you pull it down. Right, it actually it unseals it like that. So now you're in the mask with the unsealed marker.
Wow! Right?
And it's in there, and you can breathe that in, and then you get out the other marker, which is actually just a decoy marker. And then you open up. That way, you don't have to smell that one.
Wow! Right? So I'm just
and you go yes, and then you yell out from in the mask. Oh, the sun, a new marker, great. I won't be smelling that.
Meanwhile, I'm in this confined space huffing this pure marker. I'm off my brain.
You come out.
I won't
be
smelling this, I say, waving the marker around in front of the class.
You take off the mask and you've got sort of whiteboard marker all over your face. It's just in there loose, and you've been falling down because of that. You're getting head spins.
I don't know what this mask looks like that has a full whiteboard marker inside it.
It's just like a kind of rubber, kind of like a gas mask, but without access to outside air.
Okay. I mean, I assumed it was like just like a COVID, you know, cloth mask or something.
I picture it's a bit
The whiteboard marker would be in there sort of sticking out like an erect penis.
Oh, sort of under like pants. Up against your face, like under like leather pants or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, no, I think it needs to kind of like have a bit of air under there just so that it can be a little bit hidden and so that you've got some room to pull on it and unlit it.
Sure. It needs to be roomy. Nice roomy mask. I mean, the lengths we're going to let this person sniff a whiteboard marker instead of just putting whatever the liquid is that's in there on some little pad that they can have.
Like one of those sample, like but one it of those needs sample to cologne be a, things.
Exactly. It needs to be a whiteboard marker. That's the experience. That's what you're paying for.
You could keep it in like keep that smell like in a little cross on a, you know, on a necklace around your neck, and you just like twist it open, and inside there's just like the stem of a fresh whiteboard marker that you just
go, it's really good. Was it a dangerous liaison style? Is that what it was? Cruel Intentions. Cruel Intentions.
Cruel
style.
Intentions. Yes.
Alistair, did you when you were at school? Did you hear the rumors about kids who had been so stressed in their exams that they put a pencil in their ear and whacked their head on the table and killed themselves? Was that a thing that went around?
Yeah, but I think I heard it as they put it in their nose.
Oh. I mean, that feels more direct. The ear, I feel like it would be hard to get a good whack going, but it was the ear was what I heard.
And it would be really painful, whereas at least there's a chance you'll go through the bottom skull, which must be the bit that they've reinforced the least, right?
No, but the ear hole just goes straight in, doesn't it? Like, I think there is a genuine ear hole that goes into the... I reckon the ear would be a great way to go in.
Do you think that there's
an
actual
hole? I mean, it would
hurt
to break the eardrum, but I'm pretty sure.
I mean, I just assumed that almost nothing gets in or out. Probably the ear... I mean, I would assume that the ear's wiring goes around down to the brain stem. Like, you know, like to where our but then again, the eyes, where are they all? Yeah, I assume that it just all goes in through where the spine and everything comes out.
You think that the brain is, the skull is completely sealed and uses sort of wireless induction loop technology to to charge the brain like an Apple Watch.
Yeah, well, no, I just think that all the wires go in through like one hole. They wouldn't make too many unnecessary holes, but of course, they probably don't. They probably, or whatever.
When they were making the holes, when they were deciding how many holes to put in the head.
Well,
you do need it. That's the thing about it. You need it like a hole in the head. Well, actually, you do need lots of holes in your head.
Yeah, I don't know. Are there that many holes?
There are heaps of fucking holes in the head.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, Andy. Let's just add it. Okay, let's both guess how many holes that are in our skull. And okay, wait. Don't guess yet. Okay, and what rules is it going to be? Is it going to be sort of Price is Right rules? And so, you know, like I can guess one, and then but I'm right if you guess four or something like that.
Okay, well, my guess is, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I guess when I count to I won't count to three because then the numbers might confuse us about what we're saying.
Yeah,
right. So I'm going to count to C. I'll say A, B, C, and then we'll say the number. Okay?
Oh, what happened?
Ready?
Okay, yeah.
A, B, C, 8.
1.
I think there's 8.
You think there's 8 holes in the skull? I think you're fucked. I think they're fucked. I don't think we could have that hole in a skull.
Many.
Wait. Holes you got to look it up now.
In skull. Oh, how many holes are in the skull? The skull contains an astounding 85 openings in the form of foramina, canals, and fissures. They provide passageways for the spinal cord, blood vessels, 12 pairs of cranial nerves, and so on. And then there's an overview of skull geography. The geography of the skull.
God damn. Oh, but those are like, that's most, are they counting these sutures? How about these sutures, by the way?
What are sutures? Yeah, that's a thread. Isn't it sewing somebody up, the suture?
Yeah, but wait, are we talking about like into the brain? Like, is the skull bit that holds the brain?
I think the skull might include the jaw.
Because, I mean, I was only talking about the bit that goes into the brain.
Yeah, no, me too.
Okay, great.
Oh, there's a thing called a meatus, the external extemal acoustic meatus, M-E-A-T-U-S.
Yeah.
It's a fun-looking word.
Oh.
Look, but it looks like there's a hole for the ears, there's for the eyes, there's where the nose goes.
Canals.
All sorts of
foramina. Foramina is probably the nicest sounding one, isn't it? Canals, who gives a shit about it? Fissures, those sound like accidents. You know? I mean, we got to only count on purpose ones. I think the one I meant, oh, yeah, here we go. Foramina, oh, there's fair few foramina. Let's see. Oh, come on. Just give me the fucking important one. Oh, yeah. Here we go.
People say, I haven't got a creative bone in my body. Is it really the bones that are creative?
I don't think bones are creative.
Bones?
Bones.
What's the most creative bone?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the skull, I guess, is the closest.
I don't think anybody has a creative bone in their body.
That is a bone ever. Yeah. Done it. Well, let's see. What I mean, I guess the one in the ear is at least plays music.
It just repeats it, doesn't it?
I know, but it
just passes it on. I wouldn't say that's a creative act.
Andy, it is playing a drum. And just because it is a vessel through which... where do you get your ideas from? Oh, just from everywhere. All around. Sounds that come through. Changes in pressure.
Is this you as the ear?
I'm here as the bone ear. As the bone ear.
The ear bone?
The bone ear.
The ear is definitely the coolest sense. I love that it's done mechanically.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like the eye is sort of like basically a digital thing. You know, it's all done with sensors and electricity, whereas the ear, with all these little bones working together to push things and shove things and little hairs jiggling about and stuff, it feels so real. It feels like a machine, a thing that's a work of craft.
That's true. Yeah, it does.
I think
feel
the
like-
eyes are basically cheating.
Yeah, they just
but the feel ear
like
is doing the work.
Somebody's like, you know, has I don't know, has just kind of if I don't know, feels like they just happened by accident, like a couple of like boiled eggs just got a bit big for their boots. You know?
Okay. So imagine this situation, right? You work for an important advertising agency, okay? And your boss is coming over for dinner, okay? This is, and they're bringing one of their biggest clients for the company, and you put on your best business candles. They're burning away in the corner.
I think,
there.
By the way, they should be business candles. Should be skyscrapers, little skyscrapers.
Little skyscrapers. Of course they are. Of course they are. I can't believe there was ever in doubt, right? Are they the Twin Towers? Are they the Twin Towers?
Depends. Andy, I don't find things like that funny, so...
Okay.
But I will show it to my children.
Yes. And then you... but as you're preparing the fruit salad beforehand, before the guests arrive, you trip over while holding a two melon ballers, and you accidentally scoop your eyeballs out, and they fall into the incinerator and get ground up and flushed away. Okay, but this is a very important meeting.
This is a great comedy where a guy has accidentally lost the ability to feel pain.
Yes, he's also lost
pain,
the ability.
Only
to feel
emotional
pain.
Pain he could still feel.
Well. Don't worry. Yeah. He's still scarred for life, emotionally and physically, right? But then you remember that in the top drawer, because you're on a diet, you're on a low-carb diet, in the top drawer of the fridge, you've got two freshly boiled eggs.
In the crisper? Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Put it in the
crisper. You like a crisp egg. You like a crisp egg.
You love a crisp egg. Oh, well, they're still in their shells, and you're like, fuck, I got to peel them still.
Yeah, so you're peeling them, right?
You're trying to not take any scratches out of them, you know, any like...
Yeah, yeah. And then
sometimes it can be hard to get that perfect
You could force them in into your eye sockets. You'd have to force them in, pointy in first, so you get that nice...
force them in, I think.
Yeah, you get that nice curved blunt end of the egg.
I think they would look a little bulgy.
Well, maybe you've got to nibble the tip off or something then, so to round the end, so that they don't.
No, because right? But I think that that's great. I think that in terms of as a comedy scene, right?
I think this is a really good comedy scene, by the way. It's so horrible. It's a real horror comedy.
It's a movie based on a guy who's lost his ability to feel pain.
But yeah, right. And his ability to see soon.
Well, that's right. But so it doesn't hurt him that at least that his eyes have come out. But he really needs this business deal to work out so that he can, you know, probably afford to get his ability to feel pain back, which seems less like he would want it now that his eyes have been scooped out. But maybe he knows a doctor and he'll be able to fix no matter what happens to him. He says, "I'll say no matter what happens." You know, it's like Robin Williams's friend there, the guy who makes the mask.
Mm.
You know, he's like, "Oh, I love that dear," guy. Like this. Yeah, it's him, but he's a doctor and he says, "No matter what happens to you, I'll be able to fix it. You just gotta get this business deal done, and then you'll have enough money to help pay me to fix anything.
I'll give you as many eyes as you want."
Yeah.
And and then I guess he draws on the end with a whiteboard marker, perhaps. Oh, yeah.
Well, you'd have to get somebody
on the end of the egg
for him.
Or maybe you, what could you do? What could you use from around the house?
He's with
somebody.
It's the new version of Hear No Evil, See No Evil, right? But it's one guy can't feel emotional pain and the other guy can't feel physical pain.
It's really good. I mean, it feels like the guy who can't feel emotional pain would probably spend a lot of time like torturing the guy who can't feel physical pain, maybe? Like if they've got a relationship, it's probably some kind of like sadomasochistic weird thing, right? That's why they're together.
It could be a sudden thing that they've been caught in. I mean, maybe he will do that because he could just be there like hitting the guy's hand with a giant book or whatever like that. The guy doesn't even notice.
This guy is called Feel. This movie is called Feel No Evil, Feel No Evil. That's the.
Okay, I'm writing it down. Feel No Evil.
I mean, I don't know if I want another guy in this scene. I love the idea of this guy trying to replace his own eyeballs all by himself, drawing on them on the ends with a permanent marker or something. Can't see what's happening.
And he tries looking in the mirror. He tries to look in the mirror while he's doing it.
Then he remembers he can't see.
Because imagine that he's
feeling can't see in the mirror, so he takes a photograph of himself with his phone.
He goes, ah, and he goes, oh, no, wait, and he grabs his phone, takes a photo, that's good.
No, that doesn't work either.
And then he grabs one of those, he grabs one of those one of those pin hand things that you put your hand in, and all your hands.
That's really good.
And he puts that over his face, and then he just tries to feel it. And he's like,
you could just feel your face. Why do you need to put your face into the thing?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What?
I don't know.
Makes it worse. I don't know.
I guess you don't want to smudge. You don't want to smudge the whiteboard marker that you're putting on these clean eggs. True. I mean, on these eggs that you've just drawn on.
Yeah. And then the meeting goes off. The dinner goes off without a hitch, and then it gets to the end of the dinner, and you remember that you promised everybody potato salad with eggs in it, and. This is a big business meeting. You promised them potato salad with eggs.
Make me your famous potato salad. Last thing that's missing is that, oh, but I don't have two eggs.
Yeah.
Then luckily there's ping pong balls that you can stick into your socks. You can
use them instead of eggs.
No, wait, what's another thing? Oh, you could probably use a couple of those white erasers.
White erasers?
You know, like a white eraser? You would call it a rubber.
But that doesn't look anything like an eyeball.
I know, but if you erase in the right shape, you might be able to get...
Yeah, you're not going to be spending all that time erasing to get it into the right shape. You're
Andy, or you've don't have go, anything. You what are you going to do, scrunch up a white piece of paper?
You got a potato salad to get out there.
Oh, you could push a potato in there. Oh, that's going to leave
potato. One of those chats.
Residue.
Yeah, but you need this. Need this deal.
Yeah, this deal that relies on a business meeting and then a meal of potato salad.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's a maybe really good idea.
You're getting. The big deal is for the potato salad board, marketing board. It's a big potato salad company. That's the contract
really
you're trying
to
get. A
really big potato salad company.
Yeah.
Is this like, would you say that this is the Coke of potato salad companies or like the Pepsi? At least the at the very least the Pepsi.
This is the Unilever of potato salad.
I think I heard that Pepsi was struggling so much at some point that, especially to like get into the fast food markets and things like that, that they bought KFC and they bought Domino's or whatever. So they bought, what's the other one that goes with KFC that also serves Pepsi? And they bought,
I don't know.
I can't remember, but they bought those and then put their own product in it.
That's crazy. That's so wild.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel like it makes mathematical sense.
Yeah, but it's like, nobody's buying my book. Like no publishers are going to buy my book. Well, you know what? I'm going to buy all the book publishers and make them print my book.
Yeah, but presumably, right, if the book publishers can make enough money selling books, is selling your book, or selling whatever books they sell, right? If you're just a small part of what they sell, surely they could afford, you can't afford to buy them. You're just one book. Yeah. You're just, anyway, I'm not making any sense.
Yeah. No. Wait, if you guys
want, I mean, I want that to be true.
Yeah. If you guys want me on, don't want me on your soccer team, then I'll just buy your soccer team. This is, yeah, I don't know.
Then what do? Do you put yourself on the soccer team or do you shut the soccer team down?
No, you put yourself on the soccer team.
Mm. That's what you wanted.
That's what you wanted. You got what you wanted. I don't know if that helps anything, but you know, it's just an interesting idea. I'm pretty sure I heard
What that. About this? Right? It's Air Bud. Right?
Yeah.
But instead of a dog who's really good at playing basketball, it's a rich guy.
Yeah.
Who's really good at paying everybody off to make him feel like he's good at playing basketball. And there's no rule against that, turns out.
So
you're allowed to have a rich guy on the team.
He bought the whole league.
He bought the whole league.
And he's playing the games, but he's...
Yeah.
But everybody else is playing around him like it's a... Like it's a thing.
And there's no rule against it in the rule book because he took it out of the rule book when he bought
the league. Yeah, he took out that specific clause that said that wasn't allowed, that the whole thing had to be played properly. All the other games are pretty normal.
Yeah.
But his team wins every season and he gets MVP.
That would be really good.
Yeah. It does.
You can continue to have the NBA, but I get to win every season and win every game. And then everybody would start to get really invested in who comes second, I suppose.
Yeah.
He wouldn't like that.
No. And he would get all the players to force them to talk about that and how that's not cool. Being second is the worst thing that you could be, actually. Then he starts saying that being second is actually being last.
This is a great next thing for Elon Musk to do. After he succeeds with Twitter, forcing everybody to see all his tweets and like all his tweets. Then he buys the NBA.
Yeah.
It forces everybody to let him win all the games and watch all his games. He should. It would be really funny. And he loves comedy.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, like, I know we're living through it every day, but isn't it amazing that what has happened?
Everything is amazing.
Like, all of that, you go, oh, I didn't know that it actually could just turn out exactly like you would write it in a movie as a joke. And literally, it feels like, you know, somebody on your local network just making changes. You go, why are things different today? You go, oh, because he's just made a decision.
Mm. Yeah.
By the way, I'm looking at an empty skull here from above. And I'm looking at all these holes in it. These fucking endless holes. There's also so many, like, it's not smooth in there. It's not like a nice bowl for the brain to sit in. There's all these kind of like, what look like quite sharp edges.
Ah, yeah, I wouldn't put those in there.
No, I wouldn't have put those in. I mean, unless they're holding different parts down, securing the brain a little bit.
Oh, maybe the brain needs that.
Yeah, yeah. To kind of hold it in place like it's kind of like, you know, like mold.
Clips, they're kind of like clips.
Yeah, like mold fitting for like, you know, when you're transferring like a computer screen or something like that or some expensive bits, you know. So like maybe it's important in that regard, but there's all these holes. And I think, I mean, there's clearly one good big hole there. Couldn't you have just got the wiring around? It's all just wet wiring anyway.
But this is the thing about all the body stuff. It's all so fucked up because we're dealing with all this legacy designs.
Yeah.
And like there's nerves that go all over the place, right? Like there's some crazy ones where like it goes all the way down to your foot or something in order to go back up to your...
Yeah, well, there's also stomach those nerves, or, I think, that go, like, in between where the light comes into your eye and the
yeah.
And the cornea or whatever, or, like,
yeah.
They just, like, they pass through right through the actual...
And that's never going to change. You can't fix that.
That's just there, yeah.
We're just working around it.
You go, yeah, that's a bad one. It's like somebody just put a post in a building right in front of the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, that's just necessary for this building. If you want this design to work, we just got to have a big bollard that stands in the way of everybody's vision.
Exactly.
Andy, I'm going to look at how many sketch ideas we have here. Wait,
I reckon
one,
we've got
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So I think that's probably enough.
And they're all good.
They're pretty good. Andy... well, then, if you're okay with it, I could go to the section that are called Three Words from a Listener, where we take three words from a listener, and then we read out the three words from that listener.
Okay. I'm okay with it.
This comes from listeners who can send us three words after they support us on Patreon, and then we take those words and we read them out. And today's listener comes from Casey Pearson.
Casey Pearson.
Did I say
this today's Casey Pearson person?
The Casey person sent in three words today. Would you like to guess what maybe the first, second, or third is?
First word is discharging.
I see. I feel like you could have got this, but no, you didn't.
this word is very gettable.
This one you could have got. This feels like it's in, you know, your language. Trestle.
Trestle, okay. Wrestle, the second word is wrestle.
No,
trestle, wrestle.
No, flower.
Oh,
F-L-O-U-R.
Okay. Trestle, flower. Trestle, flower. My goodness. Wrestle power. Wrestle for power. Trestle, flower. Ipswich.
Ipswich?
Yeah, Ipswich.
Oh, I'm sorry, idiots. No, the word is head.
Trestle, flower head.
Head.
Is that anything? Is that a riff?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a riff on anything.
I think truly random words.
I think sometimes it can just be random words, Andy. And I think that takes us back to our roots.
Now, sure. the first flower head
that comes to mind for me is picturing a headhunting tribe of some sort, or a, you know, culture. It doesn't have to be a tribe. It could be modern day headhunting people. And you think about all the kind of uses for heads that you could get out of it, because, you know, obviously you could just build a wall where the heads are the bricks.
Sure. Right?
Or you could, you know, open it up, get the brain out, dry it out, grind it up, make some bread, which probably wouldn't look that dissimilar from a brain.
Brain bread.
Brain bread.
Yes. I know, that's exciting.
You know, but a whole culture in which their only natural resource is the heads of their enemies or their... You know, find,
yeah.
You know, and every person might be specialized there. You could might maybe have a lip guy.
Dare I suggest, Alistair, that this could be one of our famous riffs on the steampunk universe? This is a new one.
Head punk.
This is head punk. Everything's heads. It's all done with heads. So this is, if you know, steampunk takes the idea of what if the Industrial Revolution never progressed beyond the use of steam as the primary mode of generating and transferring power, right? But we go further back and we say, what if society had never progressed beyond the headhunting thing? And now, as all our materials, we never had the Bronze Age, the Stone Age. We just had the head age that we had for so long.
But you know what?
Everything's done with heads. Fact
that at first, they could still have the progressions where at first they had like the nose age, right? And everybody was using noses as weapons,
yeah,
right. And then maybe they would have like, you know, they discover that you could actually take the whole face off, and maybe like, you know, they'd strap it to their arm and use it as a shield, and maybe they'd throw the ears like throwing, you know, ninja stars.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff, you know. And then maybe they'd learn that they could use the hair on top as a, you know, make clothes out of it, like furs.
It's pretty advanced, actually. It's pretty good.
Yeah, and then eventually they would move in, of course, into the skull age, or maybe the jaw age, where they would use the jaw to hit
teeth
things.
To like cut. And
yes.
Yeah,
you know, slice, and eventually then the skull age, when they'd go deeper into each head. Maybe at first they didn't realize you could keep going deeper.
Well, it's like when we discovered that there was coal and oil under the ground. It's when they discovered there were things inside the head. They never would have dreamed of that until they pierced the skull and a geyser of blood squirted out, and they danced around saying, "We've struck red gold."
That's right, yeah. And then they would dry it out, of course, and then grind it up and to finally make the bread for which all their children were so hungry.
They'd been asking for it for thousands of years. Bread, bread,
bread, bread, bread. We don't know what it is. We don't know what it is.
Yeah, but then they never did anything with the rest of the body.
No, so well, they just stopped at heads. They only hunted the heads.
They use every part of the head.
Every part of the head eventually. No. Yes. But none, I mean, of it's the hard body. Not to think of the brain as being like some special thing because you're kind of opening a chest. You know, it's like opening up a coconut and there's like a, you know, inside must be valuable.
Indeed.
That's why they...
Juicy goodness within. Humans up until now have only used 10% of their brains. Not so the headhunter society. Used the whole brain.
The whole
for
brain.
Bread.
Yes.
Whole brain.
They do
a lovely
lot of
whole brain bread.
Whole brain bread. They do let a lot of the liquid evaporate, actually. Do you think if you were really thirsty, you could squeeze a brain and just let the juice... go into your mouth and keep you.
I can almost imagine what it tastes like. Oh, I'm hating this.
Oh. Andy, today on the Discord, people were like, when I say something really horrifying, you normally go, "Yes, that's very good, Alistair," like that.
Do I?
Yeah. Everybody made it very clear. You're very supportive of me.
Oh, well, that's nice.
When I say that you, even the most horrifying things, you go, "Yes, Alistair, write that down. That's very good."
I don't know if that's a thing I do, but
Look, it might not be so much supportive as ready to get off from doing the podcast.
Sure.
You know, there's
nothing. Let's draw a line under that. If I let him write it down, it means we can move on.
You know, Andy, there's nothing that we enjoy so much in our lives that we don't want it to end soon.
That's right. Every little bit. Alistair, I believe that might be that's podcast. That's been podcast.
That will be the podcast. So do you mind if I go through the sketch ideas?
Yes, please.
Well, we have the business candle, which of course we now know is little skyscrapers. But within that idea was also the business hot shake, which is the hand candle shake where it burns down and whoever it's between, you know, a boss and a challenging alpha.
But I also do like the idea of two people in a business situation shaking hands and they're having a great time with it. And one of them says to the other, you know, what do you say? We turn this into a hot shake.
Yeah.
And the other person's like, what's that? And you're like, oh, you don't do hot shakes? And then somebody brings over the big jug of boiling wax and they pour it over their hands and then they slip in the candle and they're like, whoa, hot shakes. Yeah. Everybody's having a great time.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And then within that, there was also the riding each other like bulls, which was also called a hot shake, but where they ride each other like bulls and whoever can ride the other one for longer is the new boss. Then we have the chlorine.
What about this? This is just like using that idea, but this is a new thing. This is a brodeo, right? And it's where mates get together with their mates and they ride on each other's back like their horses. Right, and try and throw each other off. And it's not sexual in any way, unless you want it to be.
Yeah, unless you want it to be. Which is fine. But the one that we're airing on TV is for a family audience.
Brodeo.
I've written down brodeo.
Thank you.
And we have the Chlorine and Pool Technology Trade Show Organizing Board, which is strong-arming countries into building new buildings.
Enormous white elephants.
Yeah. Then we have the up and down swimming race in the corners of skyscrapers.
Of course.
You know, I mean, I wonder, because I think a lot of those like deep diving people, I'm not saying that they don't already race, but it feels like they treat it with respect or whatever, this deep diving thing, that it's like more of a
spiritual, you know, or something.
Spiritual, and it's more of like a... Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Now it's big business.
Now it's big business, yeah. And that's why we keep it in one of those business buildings. Then we got the whiteboard marker with a mask and a decoy marker so that you can smell everyone, you know, without shame. Then we have the creative bone in the body. No one has one. I think there's something can be made with that. But, you know, we haven't expanded on it, but I think it's a very good crux of an idea. And then we have the feel no evil film. But we've got the scene, which is the guy replaces his accidentally scooped out eyes with boiled eggs and draws eyes on them.
Egg balls.
Yeah.
My egg balls, baby.
And then we
got Brodeo. No, wait.
Wait, no, then we got rich guy who buys NBA and makes everyone let him win. And then we have a head punk, which is the modern day head hunting society with only heads as a natural resource. And then we have, of course, the Brodeo.
I was really happy with that one, actually.
Yeah, me too. Thank you for allowing us to put our sounds, our voices into one of the holes in your skulls.
One of the 85.
Yeah. God, I really lost that pretty bad today.
Well, you were the one who set the Price is Right rules.
Yeah.
And you should have gone higher than me. You should have. It would have been a funny payoff after you'd mocked me for choosing the number 8. You should have just gone 9 and then
I thought you were going to absolutely play me by just because you knew I was going to pick 1. So I thought you were just going to pick 2, yeah. I'm like, oh, there's nothing I can do.
He's got me over a barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't, anything to plug? We got nothing to plug.
Nothing to plug. You can always check out Magma and Teleport and My Client is Innocent on YouTube.
That would be wonderful.
You know, but you don't really have to do any of that. You can just get on with your life.
Yeah.
Thank you for, you know, we're all trying to get onto this, onto Blue Sky. So just, even if it's just...
Send us an invite.
Send us an invite, yeah.
Have you been on Gamey Game lately, Alistair?
I was a little while ago. Yeah, maybe 2 weeks ago, actually. I was on Gamey Game. So go check out Gamey Game. I was on with Ben Russell and Naomi Higgins. Oh, so why not?
Oh, yeah.
Go and see that. Oh, my gosh.
Sounds good.
That'd be really nice. Andy, have you been on anything?
No.
Okay.
No. But I'm thinking about going on things.
Yeah, great. I think that'd be really nice. I think you're really good on things.
Watch this space. Thanks, man.
I love you on this podcast. Have I ever told you that?
No, I love you on this podcast.
Really?
We should do an episode together.
We should do a podcast, yeah. Well, that's cool. All right. Well, I love that.
My favorite episodes of this one podcast are the ones where we're both on it.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's great. Yeah. I love those too, actually. Well, watch this space or listen to this space.
We love you on this podcast.
On this podcast. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.